My pleasure to welcome back to the show Bob Chamberlain. He is the chair of the First Nations Wild Salmon Alliance. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Doing very well, thank you.
You and I have spoken before about the state of fish farming on our coast and where that's heading, and also the state of the salmon runs that have been affected by those farms. And you and your group have been putting a notice out that you've observed thousands of pink salmon returning, and you believe it's because of the removal of some of the open net salmon farms that were up in the Broughton Archipelago area. So talk about what you've been seeing.
Oh, for sure. You have to be mindful that 2 years ago, there was approximately 200 pink salmon returning to the Ottawa River that's in Bond Sound. And that was a real motivator for us when we were implementing the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People with Premier Horgan's government on fish farm tenures. And so we had targeted two very clear removal of fish farms that are in direct relationship to that particular river. And so what we have now, lo and behold, 2 years later, bouncing back from, 200 fish in the river to having several thousand. Of course, there was historically some very much larger runs, but at 200, you're facing extinction. So to see several thousand return is a good day.
Now, talk about the life cycles of these salmon, because they are a couple of years long. Is that right? Or I should know more about this. I've lived on this coast for long enough. I should have a sense of salmon life cycles. But is it 2 years for the pink salmon?
Yes, that's correct. So they go out to the ocean and they're back in 2 years, unlike sockeye and other fish that take four. So it was a good window for us to be able to see how well our salmon rivers are going to bounce back in a shorter period. And, of course, this understanding and this example needs to be replicated down in Discovery Island, because that's where 90% of the Fraser River salmon go by. So if we can have improvement 2 years in the Broughton, we can have the same for the Fraser.
And that's the window there, because this would be the first return of pink salmon up in the Broughton Archipelago that have kind of spawned and returned in the window past when those fish farms closed.
That is correct. Okay. I mean, prior to this, I'm thinking back to 15 years ago, traveling through our territories with one of my elders. And, after a while, after about an hour and a half, he said, Bob, he said, I haven't seen one pink salmon jump yet. And this was in mid-August. And he said to me, when he was a kid, there would be looking like raindrops. There'd be so many pink salmon jumping. So to get reports from a couple of our hereditary chiefs out in the territories that they're seeing a lot of pink salmon jumping, it does a world of good for the morale of our people, and it's going to bode well for the environment, for the animals, and for the economy of North Island.
I've got a lot of questions about the pink salmon, kind of traditionally and culturally, how they matter and how they might matter differently than other salmon species. Do you mind holding on the line and getting into that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, when you consider salmon, period, it's simply much more than a menu choice for First Nations people. And this is a resource that we have deep traditions and cultural attachments to. It's by far one of the most significant protein sources for coastal and interior First Nations. And so when we have a loss of this critical food source, it of course hits all the nations across the province with the demise of so many wild salmon runs. But every species is used. We have different ways of preparing it. Of course, the same way of eating it. But the thing is, they're so critical to First Nations across the province.
Well, hold on the line. I got to take a break. But when we come back, I want to explore that a bit more and also just talk about the observations. Again, thousands of pink salmon seem to be returning in this area. The first run that would have come kind of spawned and then returned since the removal of some of those open net fish farms in that area. We're talking to Bob Chamberlain. He's chair of the First Nations Wild Salmon Alliance, and we'll be back to this conversation in just a moment on CFAX 1070 after a quick look at traffic, weather, and news. That's next.
If it's happening, it's here. Afternoons with Ryan Price on CFAX 1070.
Talking to the chair of the First Nations Wild Salmon Alliance, Bob Chamberlain. He's been holding on the line through the break. Thank you, sir, for doing that.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
We're talking because you and your organization have been observing a large return of pink salmon which is the first sort of visible large return you've had since those open net fish farms up in the Broughton Archipelago closed a couple of years ago. And I guess we should clarify that it's just an observation that it looks like we've got all these fish. This happens to be the timeline. How definitive is this that there's cause and effect here?
Well, for us, it's very clear. When you think the last commercial fishery that I was aware of, and actually I participated in, was in the early 1990s, and that was in the mainland Pink Stock Theater, as DFO calls it. So there's been no abundancy since then. We've noticed remarkably the lack of salmon in our territories, and to have such reports from Alert Bay, from going across over to Guilford Island and up into Bon Sound, and to see film footage of jumpers and so many fish at the river mouth, it is really clear to us that the impacts of fish farms are indeed true, and removing them from key strategic points is a resolving of an issue that's within reach today that's going to create a path and create the opportunity for greater returns of wild salmon across the province.
And you mentioned this is a sign that we should hopefully have a similar story if down in the Discovery Islands, so a little further down the coast here closer to Vancouver Island, if the same story plays out. Where's that at as far as fish farming is concerned in that area?
Well, the Discovery Islands, the most recent announcement by the DFO minister, she did not reissue the fish farm licenses. I believe 17 out of the 19 were not reissued. She's doing some engagement with industry and some First Nations. But in early January 2023 is when the decision on Discovery Islands will come from the minister. But what I find most a really good development in this whole scheme is that the DFO minister is going to hear and allow First Nations from up the interior of British Columbia be able to provide their input into the overall transition plan. And this is appropriate because the fish that leave the headwaters of the Fraser, they're going to die as they go by Discovery Island Fish Farm. So their rights are being infringed, and therefore the federal crown has a duty to consult. And to know that none of these farms are consulted when they were first brought in. So this is the first time there's going to be a very broad voice of First Nations speaking about food security and the accommodation of their constitutionally protected Aboriginal rights.
But I guess it's worth bringing up that not everybody agrees, even amongst the First Nations on the coast and in the interiors. Some of them support the fish farming. Is that still the case?
Well, I know that there are somewhere between 8 and 10 First Nations that have working agreements with industry, but I'm also aware that there are over 102 First Nations across the province that have signed a letter that I was bringing around and meeting with leadership that they support the transition of fish farms out of the ocean. So we're looking at a ratio of 10 to 1 in terms of First Nations that do not support the industry. And it's because they're not in a position to receive any kind of economic benefit, but they certainly feel the loss of salmon to their deep freezes, their culture, their traditions. And I'm so grateful that the minister has decided to take a broader scope of seeking input to ensure that Aboriginal rights are protected. But this isn't just about Aboriginal rights. This is about the traditions and culture of people that live down the street from you that go fishing with their father and their uncle. Or, these are their culture and traditions as well. And then, of course, we got the southern resident killer whales, grizzly bears, and eagles. I mean, there are so many things that depend on salmon. It's time that we give full value to healthy and abundant wild salmon stocks.
Talking to Bob Chamberlain, who's chair of the First Nations Wild Salmon Alliance. I got a question, that kind of a follow-up from before the break when I was asking about sort of the cultural significance of the pink salmon. And you mentioned that it's just salmon, period. I mean, salmon are just so culturally critical to all of the First Nations up and down this coast and here in BC all the way to the interior. But I was just curious about pink salmon because they're a bit different. Like you said, a shorter life cycle. Did they have any particular place in culture or even just in more modern fishing? Or how did they fit into the whole picture?
For our people, we interpret salmon, like a lot of our culture is based upon what we saw and experienced in our traditional territories and the ties that we have within our land. And so what we've done is realizing, and I'm assuming here, because this is just handed down through generations, that the importance and the uniqueness and the significance of salmon within the environment, we turn and we bestow that song, that dance onto the twins of our family, because they were very rare and unique and special as well. So that was how we were able to show some due respect to something that was incredibly significant. But in terms of food, I believe the word we have for it is chamas, and it's like a half smoked kind of a fish that you boil it again and get it finished. I wouldn't say finish the cooking, but warm it up, and oh my gosh, is it ever good?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing your stories today. I really appreciate you joining us on the radio, talking about your observations, maybe some good news finally. It's been many years of bad news about salmon returns here on the coast, and it's nice to hear the good ones.
You bet. Thank you for your time.
All right. Bob Chamberlain, chair of the First Nations Wild Salmon Alliance. Until next time.